Are you in a real estate business and find yourself bogged down with tasks that keep you from focusing on what truly matters, like closing deals and growing your business? Well, we have the perfect solution for you. Meet REI World Solutions Virtual Assistants. These are not just any virtual assistants. They are professionally trained, monitored, and managed to get the job done, allowing you to accelerate your business to new heights. Imagine having a dedicated assistant taking care of the things you either don't want to or don't have the time to do. Sounds like a dream, right? Here's what they can do for you. 1. Call or text prospects. Yes, they will do the prospecting for you, be it cold calling or texting, saving you a ton of time. 2. Gauge prospects for interest. They will contact and vet your entire list, identifying the prospects most likely to convert into customers. 3. Provide detailed lead information for follow-up. Once they pinpoint likely customers, you get notified in real time, allowing you to follow up immediately and close more deals. That's not all. These virtual assistants are real estate specialists with experience spanning real estate investors, property management companies, brokers, agents, and service providers. They are driven by core values of integrity, preparedness, stellar customer service, and a dedication to growth and learning daily. So why wait? Let the REI World Solutions Virtual Assistants be the backbone of your business, helping you scale and grow with meticulous attention to detail. Remember, with REI World Solutions Virtual Assistants, you're not just hiring help. You're building a culture rooted in mission and goal setting, a culture that stands tall on professionalism and a strong focus on customer service. REI World Solutions Virtual Assistants, your partner in achieving your business needs and goals. To get started with REI World Solutions Virtual Assistants today, visit moneyisfunnyshow.com/VA. That's moneyisfunnyshow.com/VA. It's time to take the leap towards a more prosperous business. REI World Solutions Virtual Assistants.
Are you a real estate investor looking for that perfect financial partner to fuel your property ventures? Or perhaps you're a lender eager to dive into a lucrative investment opportunity? Well, I have some exciting news for you. Introducing the United States Real Estate Investor Lending Program, the dynamic platform that bridges the gap between real estate investors and a network of private and hard money lenders, creating a win-win for everyone involved. Here's what you can look forward to. For investors, 1. Capital Fuel. Get essential funding you need to make your property ventures a roaring success. 2. Financial Partnership. Forge vital business relationships and step up your financial freedom game. For lenders, 1. Diversified Investment Portfolio. Lending to real estate investors not only diversifies your investment portfolio, but also potentially increases your overall returns while reducing risk. 2. Attractive Returns. Enjoy higher interest rates compared to traditional lending options, giving you the potential for significant returns on your investment. 3. Access to qualified borrowers. Save time and effort in finding and vetting real estate investors. The platform connects you with a network of dedicated and experienced investors, increasing the likelihood of successful ventures. So, whether you're looking to request a deal funding or offer funding solutions as a lending partner, the United States Real Estate Investor Lending Program is your gateway to the world of opportunity and rewards delivered right to your email inbox. Ready to embark on a more prosperous real estate investing journey? Get started now. Visit moneyisfunnyshow.com/lending. That is moneyisfunnyshow.com/lending. Take your first step to a bigger bottom line with United States Real Estate Investor Lending. That is United States Real Estate Investor Lending.
Universe Media Network, 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 Network.
Welcome to Money is Funny, where we have a relaxed but important conversation about money and life and how we can make the best of both decisions. I'm Michael Anthony, and we're with my man,
Armand Krohn.
In today's topic, we're talking about exit strategies. When you build a company up and when it's time to exit and possibly have to sell that company and make some more money. So which will show you that money is funny. Armand, how was your weekend, buddy?
It was good. This past weekend, I celebrated my 17th anniversary my wife had me go to Rodeo Drive. We went wine tasting. We went ate at nice restaurants, this, that, and the other. And I appeased my wife like a good man supposed to.
Amen. Amen to that. So you went to Rodeo Drive. So did you go into Chanel? Did you go into Gucci? Did you go into any of these stores? Did you buy something? Did you want to buy something?
I didn't want to buy nothing. I did not buy anything. Every time my wife picked something up, I was like treating it like she had a gun, put it down slowly so that I don't have to buy it. And I hated Rodeo Drive because I feel like a whole bunch of people are just flexing for no reason, just buying crap that they don't really need to buy just so they can show it off to people and make themselves feel better than somebody else. I hate Rodeo Drive, Rodeo Drive. I hate it all.
I like the fact that whenever I was in Hollywood and I would go to Beverly Hills and I would go to these stores and you was like, you know, you look at the prices and you're like, they're crazy. And I think they're just trying to see how crazy you are. They want to know they're crazy, but are you crazy too? I think that's the question, what they're doing. Like, I went into Gucci, couldn't even buy a keychain. I'm not even trying to buy a keychain. Couldn't even buy a keychain. I was like, you know, I gave myself the Black Mother speech. Don't touch nothing. Don't look at nothing. Don't ask for nothing. Don't touch it because you ain't
going bump into nothing.
So I'm like, who am I talking to? I'm talking to myself before I go in the store. But however, you know, I'm sure you saw a lot of like expensive cars. You definitely saw the Bugattis and Lambos. Most of those cars are rented. Most of those
people. No, I did not.
Most of those people are visitors, and they're coming in town, and they'll rent those cars and ripping down and go down, you know, and try to flex. They're flexing for whatever reason, you know. So,
which is crazy because I drove down Rodeo in my Mazda CX-9 flexing with two car seats in the back.
This is how we roll. This is how we roll.
And that's how I flex. Because you know what? When I flex, I'm basically looking at everyone like, I do not care what you think.
And what?
There's stains in the seats, too. You should see them.
I pay for these stains. 17 years. That's amazing, brother. That's definitely amazing.
Oh, good, good.
I applaud you. Speaking of exit strategies, I'm just kidding.
Not yet.
Well, it's cheaper to keep her, is what we heard. You know,
that's what I heard. Yeah, that's what I heard.
Absolutely, absolutely. So today's topic, we got Brandon. Speaking of exit strategies, we got somebody, a great CEO that will talk about building company. Matter of fact, let's stop talking behind his back. Armand, why don't you give him a great introduction?
All right. We got Brandon on here now, and he operates an SEO optimizer. He's been operating SEO optimizer since 2007. He is a digital marketing company that focuses on helping small and medium-sized businesses get more online traffic, which in turn converts into clients, sales, and leads. So without further ado, let's bring my man on here and actually make him big. I don't know what's going on here because he's the man of the hour. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on today.
So Brandon, how do we take a company and how do you build it up?
There's a lot of different ways to build it up, but I focus more on the digital side of things. And the way to build it up is get more traffic, get more sales, more leads, more phone calls. Traffic doesn't really matter. It's all about getting those conversions. That's really what matters. And there's a lot of different ways to get those conversions. You could do social media. You could do paid ads. You could do email marketing. You do search engine optimization, which is what I focus on, and try to get you that free traffic from Google. But you want to get as much traffic or get as many leads as possible. And the more leads you get, the better. And you want to try to use all those different sources to see what's going to work. Offline marketing, do print, TV, radio, if you want to try those out. But it's all about just kind of throwing everything against the wall, seeing what works, pushing more money into that, pulling money away from what's not working, and just testing, because you never know until you try it.
Now, when it comes to internet ads, how do you feel like that works as opposed to actually regular ads on TV, radio ads, or, you know, is that just more the wave now, or you think that's a little bit depending on what the market that you're trying to, the demographic you're trying to go into?
No, it just depends on your budget. If you're trying to run TV ads, it's probably going to be a minimum, maybe $10,000, $100,000. I'm not sure what it costs to run TV ads, whereas mm-hmm. with Google ads, you can run an ad on YouTube, which is the second most popular website on Google, or I mean on the internet. YouTube is the second most popular one out there, and you can run ads on there for a $5 a day budget. And with YouTube, though, the nice thing about those ads is you can set it up so somebody watches your ad and then skips it before 30 seconds, you don't pay a penny. And then after 30 seconds, then you pay like 10 cents a view. And you can get a lot more targeting with YouTube and all these other platforms versus TV. It's good, but it doesn't give you, like, Google knows too much about you. They know what you're doing. They know what websites you've been on. TV just knows what TV shows you've been watching. They don't know the ins and outs of who you are, or even if you are watching that TV, because maybe your wife or your brother's cousin was watching TV and now you're sitting there and they're going to target ads that aren't targeted towards you to thinking that you're that person. Whereas with Google, they know too much. You're logged into Google or Gmail or some way you're logged into Google, so they can verify it's you. Then they know who you are, and then they could send out really targeted ads.
Brandon, you just dropped a bomb as far as advertisement go. Say it again. People that advertise on YouTube, if they don't watch more than 10 seconds, they don't pay a penny?
30 seconds.
Okay. 30 seconds.
It's even better. And even if they listen, if they watch it or listen to it for 29 seconds, skip it, they still heard your message. So you just have some free ad space right there. But the biggest part is you got to get them hooked within those first 5 seconds.
True.
Otherwise, they'll skip it. But after that, 30 seconds still free, which is pretty nice.
So when you're dealing with different small companies, do you take the same strategy with all of them, or does it depend on the industry? Do you usually go with the paid ad? What direction do you normally go in?
Just depends on the industry. Depends on who they're targeting, where their potential audience is. That's the main thing, is who's your audience and how do we get in front of them at the right time? We don't need to be everywhere. If they're not on Google, we don't need to be on Google. I mean, most of the time it will be Google, but if you're like a musician or like something like that, or a sports team, maybe social media is going to be a little bit better for you. But it's all about just knowing who your audience is and where are they? How do I get in front of them?
So for instance, I actually met a very interesting person. I'm not sure he's in the same industry as you, but he runs the marketing and advertising and the technology side of art sales and deals with selling these art. And he said, the way you sell art is you basically make it popular to the masses, even though they're not the ones who are buying it. The masses aren't buying it, but the rich, the really rich, and they only want to, you know, buy what the masses who can't afford it buy, right? Is that about what, is that the same thing? Like sometimes you want to make things a little bit popular to the masses. Kind of like what we're talking about Rodeo Drive. You want the masses to want this purse, but you make it $5,000 or $10,000 a purse so that people can flex and buy that purse for $10,000 and say, see, I own this purse. Do you help build the excitement for a product?
No, I'll help drive the traffic there, but they got to record the video. They got to do it themselves. So they got to make it authentic. If I'm sitting there recording a video for them or doing all that, it's going to lose authenticity because they know the product or service better than I do, and it's going to show through. So you got to let them kind of take care of that and let them put that authenticity out there. And I'll help with script writing, but other than that, they got to take it from there.
So they'll make the ad per se, and you just know where to place it and have them get the traffic from it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So go ahead, Mike.
No, I was going to just say, so once you have the ad, you feel it's hot, it's great. So where do you go with the ad from there?
Let me just throw it up on wherever platforms we think that would be where your audience is at. And if none of them, then we don't throw up any ads and we try a different form of marketing. But with the ads, you want to test it out. You got to think, like, is my audience on Instagram? Like if I'm a dentist or an SEO company or a lawyer, no one's really going on social media looking for me. So I could try running ads on Facebook, but it's probably not going to work. But you might want to test it out. But I would run them on Google. Google owns YouTube, which has the banners and display ads as well through Google. And Google, people searching on Google, they're searching. Whereas on social media, you're kind of interrupting people based off interest. Doesn't mean they want to use your product or service. It just means they're interested sometime in the past or in the future, but doesn't mean right now. Whereas Google, they're searching.
So can you give me an example of like a company you worked with and what was their, you know, what did you use? You use Google Ads, did you do YouTube? You know, when we tested it out, what it looked like was the best avenue for that product?
Well, we could talk about mine. I do SEO, so I try to get myself ranked on Google, get that free traffic so I don't have to spend money on ads, focusing on that search engine optimization. But half the traffic that comes to your website is going to leave immediately, no matter what industry you're in. It's called the bounce rate. So then you got to remarket to them. So follow them around with those ads. So anyone that's been to my website but didn't fill out a form or didn't go to a specific page, I'll follow them around with a set of ads. Anyone that's been to my website and maybe watch some of my classes, I'll send them a different set of ads. And these will be banner ads that follow them around on wherever, or run them on YouTube, or run them on LinkedIn and Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, and just try to stay top of mind, because someone's been to your website, they know who you are, they're probably interested in your product or service, something distracted them. And if you keep yourself top of mind, you could probably convert that person later on in the future. Also trying to capture their email addresses. And then also you can run ads against your competitors' traffic. So anyone that's gone to like Yelp looking for an SEO company, I could target that traffic and remarket to that traffic, which not a lot of people know about either. And you can do that on YouTube and you get 30 seconds free ad space to target your competitors' traffic and they'll never know about it.
Wow. Okay. So when you say follow them, if they've been to your website, you follow, how do you go about following them besides email?
No, like you go on Amazon, you look at a product, you don't buy it. Those ads follow you around doing the same thing.
Yeah, the bots. But I thought like they see you on the website and those advertisements follow you. And I thought they were like little bots or what, like they call them bots or whatever when you land on a website.
Or maybe like cookies. They put
cookies. Or cookies, yes.
To track you. But yeah, no bots. But
no bots. Just
tracking you. Yeah. No, bots are what social media has. There's no bots for the ads.
All right.
There might be some ads. There might be some bots where people buy it and maliciously click on competitors' ads, but Google's pretty good at cleaning that up. They could see through that because, yeah, too many people have done that in the past. They're just like, oh, I'm going to click on all my competitors' ads and bleed them dry, which is not a good strategy.
So let's talk about business partnership a little bit. Did you partner up with anyone with your company?
No. In the past, I've partnered up with web developers because I do SEO, so I get people traffic. But a lot of times their websites, they aren't the best websites, so they need a little touching and cleaning up to get that traffic to convert into clients. So partner up with web developers, and then the web developers, when they build a website, they need to get traffic somehow. So they usually say, hey, there's this SEO company, they could help out with SEO, paid ads, or you could just try it yourself. But usually you gotta have, because you could spend millions of dollars building the best website, but if nobody knows about it, it doesn't do any good. You gotta drive awareness.
Okay. And you know, we're talking about exit strategy. Have you decided on an exit strategy for your company in sometime in the future, or have you given any thought to that at all?
Yeah, and I'll probably just keep it and just keep going and building it up and then pass it down.
I run into the same situation with my financial planning company, right? So, you know, I'm building it up right now and I had it evaluated. So I have to have mine evaluated, and then I also have developed like a buy sell agreement just in case something has ever happened to me, right? And so a lot of people don't think about like getting their company evaluated, making sure that there's some kind of exit strategy for their company, their business. Because I have three daughters. I don't know if you have any kids or anything along those lines. My hope is that one of them wants to take over daddy's business. As I was talking to my nephew today about my business, his eyes glossed over and it was like, boring. I don't want to do that. And then we were teasing him that he was going to grow up and just be a stripper one day and not want to do what I do. So do you have any kids?
No, not yet. But I mean, with business, though, it's like SEO, not my first choice. It's like, oh, do I want to do digital marketing, search engine optimization? Not my first choice, but after a while you realize it's not that bad. And with the business, like having your own business gives you a lot more freedom, flexibility versus working in corporate offices. Like I've worked at a lot of advertising agencies and it's a lot better being your own boss and take some time, but you'll fall into it and someone eventually would, or you just kind of just let it go, or I'm not sure, but the exit strategy is a good idea to have some plan in place to figure out what to do in the future, just in case who knows what's going to happen.
Absolutely.
I think having a plan in case is always a best play. But I also kind of, when I hear the word exit strategy, I feel like if especially if it's something that you thought about forming a business, you're already kind of planning to fail. Can you speak to a little bit about that?
Yes. Having the exit strategy just means you're ready to just sell it, get that money, just trying to make that quick dollar versus trying to really build a brand and keep it for the long term.
Well, you know, for me, I don't think I was, you know, I don't think I planned for failure per se. I think it has more to do with the fact that, you know, I have a wife, I have a kid, and if I die tomorrow, I want to make sure that my wife makes money off of this, right? Or my family makes money off of this. So you're developing an exit strategy. And on top of that, you also want to make sure your clients are taken care of. So, you know, Brandon has clients, you know, I have my own clients. So what you want to do is you want to make sure that there is a plan B for your clients, that they get taken care of in the event that I get in a car accident, right? That they're not floundering about or whatever the case may be. Like, there's somebody who can back me up. On top of that, who can, you know, because when you talk about an exit strategy for your business, you end up having to sell it. If you die, your wife needs to get some of that money. And so what you usually end up doing is setting up what is called a buy-sell agreement with somebody so that if you die or you become disabled, they will buy your business from you. And then your family can get the money from it versus you building this thing up and it just basically just going away because your business is obviously worth something. My business is obviously worth something. And so that's why you always want to try to have an exit, not an exit strategy like, you know, I'm going to go work for advertisement after this or whatever the case may be. But more so, if something happens to me or I can't do this any longer, everyone is taken care of. And that's why I was asking if you had like a partnership, a business partner that you work with. Do you have someone that you, you know, work with who you can hand it off to if need be, or if you're on the, on your own, do you have someone lined up in the event that something might happen to you?
Okay. Yeah.
Or have you worked with a company to build themselves up and do the same thing?
No, that makes sense. Yeah. No, I thought you meant partnership. Like in the past, like when I first started doing digital marketing, I was like, all right, need some help getting clients. Let me partner up with web developers. They could pass me on leads and I could pass them on leads, but don't have any official partner where it's like, if worst case scenario, emergency happens, never know what's going to happen in the future. And yeah, no. So that's where I've gotten in place where I have people that help me out that I could pass it on, but still, I still need to be there. It's not like I could be completely hands off, which is ultimately what I want to be able to do in the future is be able to, in case anything happens, step away and or go on vacation and not have to be constantly checking emails and be working while you're on vacation. So that would be ultimate goal, but yeah, don't have any in place right now.
In terms of exiting, like when you, like a situation like that and you've done sold the company or sold whatever business or assets or whatever, and you still have someone as a, you still on as a consultant, have you ever seen or heard anyone to actually say, never mind, I want to go back and take back the business?
I mean, yeah, I've seen sometimes where they sell it and then people that take it over just completely ruin it, like Vans shoes. I was listening to this autobiography about Van, the guy that created Vans, and said that he sold it off. I forgot when, but like in the 80s or 90s, sold it. And then they just kind of took it in a whole different direction where before he was like really customizing shoes and being personalized. Like, all right, if you want this, we'll sell you one shoe at a time to like some people. So he's like, really taking care. And then it became like really just standardized and it wasn't that same personal touch. And then I don't know if he rebought the business, but he came back from retirement. Like he was a consultant for a few years, left, took the money. And then he saw what was happening. He came back on, tried to fix it. I don't know if he bought the company again because it'd be expensive to do, or it might've dropped in price so much that it was a just easy way to get it back and then rebuild it up and build it up to what it's at to now back to where Vans, you could see it's like the classic shoes that almost everyone has those or has worn those in the past. So, but yeah, no, they really revamped it, which I didn't think that had happened too often. But then I think like people buying these businesses, they don't necessarily, they don't, sometimes they're just looking at the dollar sign. They don't care about like the true core value of the business, which is what you hold.
I feel that the same way with more or less like with fashion and even now with entertainment, you know, a few years ago, George Lucas had sold, you know, Lucas Films, and he sold Star Wars pretty much to Disney, $4.1 billion. You know what I'm saying? So he's going to be taken care of. I'm sure the people that was at Skywalker Ranch financially would be taken care of. But as far as like clients and fans of the Star Wars franchise, they may feel a certain way with the integrity of how the films have went away. But, you know, we have spinoffs with the Boba Fett's and the Mandalorians and all the other films. It would be, I guess it would be in bad form for him to turn around and be like, no, I'm going to, because I'm not saying he spent the $4.1 billion, but I'm not going to say like, all right, let me buy Star Wars back. And then I don't really see that happening. Do you? I mean.
Yeah, when it's that much money, I don't think you could say I want to buy it back. $100 billion, like, just take it. It's all good. It's fine.
And but, I think, go ahead, Mike.
I was going to say, and think where he's at, where he was at the point, he was just completely done with, you know, the franchise. And he was like, yo, I've done this for the last 20 plus years. I'm completely done. And now where someone or like the fans are actually upset with where the films have gone and some of the places. Like, I'm still a fan. I've watched the shows and I can see how some things, but it's just entertainment. And where I feel like some businesses, they, like you said, if they get about the dollar and, you know, had an idea, you were making things out of toys and you turn it into a $4 billion profit industry, I think you've won. I think you won. And I guess to learn where you basically bow out and not let your ego get where your dollar signs is at. And I think where artist integrity and dollar signs meet, I think people have a hard time sleeping with that.
Well, you know, with the companies that me and Brandon are, you know, talking about, the small and medium, it becomes really personal. I think Vans is like the bigger company where it's still kind of personal, right? And so, you know, what?
Tell that to Star Wars fans. You don't think this? there's Jedi Knights. There's kids taking Jedi Knight classes. You know what I'm saying? There's people practicing to speak Wookiee.
Well, I'm also saying it's personal to the people who are building the business, right? So the people who are working with Brandon, this is personal. This is our baby. This is, you know, we're trying to build this up. This is something that we believe in. And, you know, the point I'm trying to make when we're talking about an exit strategy is when you're creating this baby, right, you're building it up, you also need to think about the other side of it too. Like, hey, and kind of like what Brandon says, you know, a lot of people need to learn to delegate more so that you are not the centerpiece at all time. And you need to train people to do what you do so that you can take a vacation, so you can do these things. And then if, God forbid, something happened to you, right, that your family is taken care of and your clients are better taken care of. But if you have a chokehold so tight on your business, right, then if something ever happens to you, ever, it can just go down in flames and go in the direction that the way you did not want. Do you agree, Brandon?
Yep. No, you got to have that backup plan and just have something in place. But yeah, the more you delegate, the better. So I've learned over the years, because it's frustrating sometimes training people could be like, all right, now I have to train this person and do my job and then fix their mistakes. But you find the right person and then you just realize, all right, they're just taking so much off my shoulders where now I can focus on more important things or working on the business instead of working in the business, which is what a lot of people kind of get stuck in when they're in the startup or smaller, medium-sized business, just stuck working in it and not growing it, which got to do both, but you shouldn't be working in it as much. You should just be overlooking everything and delegating to other people.
Yep. And to be honest with you, oh, go ahead. I was going to say, be honest with you, I'm trying.
If you don't have these other people in place to take the reins, you're going to have the last season of Secessions. You're going to have people not being able to take care of the business. You're not sure if it's going to be family, if it's going to be a complete stranger, and then it's going to be hell. And then you're end up Will going back and taking the company back, which is pretty much was that last season. So
yeah. And what I was going to say is, you know, I'm training someone right now, and it can be a little bit difficult, you know, because you know it so well, you know what to need to do. I was actually training someone to do a financial plan, and, you know, he was doing it for like an hour. And I was like, look, all you need to do is boom, 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 boom. And I was done in like 10, 15 minutes. I'm like, this is easy. And, you know, but you have to take that step back and go, I've been doing this every day for 17 years. So for me, this is breathing. Like, this is, I can look at it and see. But it also, and it, you know, speaking to people who are nervous about partnering up with people or delegating or having that exit strategy, you know, she's also seeing things that I don't even see anymore because it's so familiar to me. I'm so close to it that they figure out ways to improve my systems and improve what I'm doing because it's just a fresh pair of eyes. And so there's ways that you can do this and partner up with people and have that exit strategy and be able to delegate to people and improve your company at the same time. And, it's, you know, if you're going to hire Brandon to help you build up your company, you need to kind of try to do it all at the same time. And, you know, one of my old mentors said 33% of my energy needs to go to building my business. 33% of my business needs to be maintaining my clients, and 33% of my time should be administrative. That's how it should be broken down. And I'm sure your budget should be broken down quite similar, right?
Seems about right. Got to break it down. Those are the more important things. Otherwise, yeah, you can't be doing one thing. Got to just, yeah, break it down.
So Brandon, if people wanted to get a hold of you, how can they get a hold of you and try and possibly help you help them? If you can possibly wanted to help them boost up traffic and get their website or any of their products out, how can they reach you?
Yeah, so everyone that's listening or watching, I create a special gift for them. If they go to my website, SEOoptimizers.com, that's SEOoptimizers.com/gift. They can find that there with my contact information, and I do free consultations. So if they have a website and want me to check it out from an SEO perspective, I can see what's working, what's not working, and how to get them to the level that they want to be.
And get them followers, man. And also, do you have any books or any anything that you want to plug or anything that you're selling right now that you can let people know how else they can? Did you write a book? Do you have anything that you this is your selling point. You got anything else you want to sell or anything you want to plug?
No book yet, but that is a good marketing technique that I've been looking into and thinking about. I haven't had time, but I have a bunch of classes that I've done over the years. I threw them all up on that page, the SEOoptimizers.com/gift, or they go search my name on YouTube. They could see all the classes I've done over the years. I just kind of just threw them all up for free. It's like, just take them, get that free knowledge about SEO, about Google Ads, about Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. I have one about Yelp. I have Google Analytics, Google Search Console, kind of put a bunch of them up there. So if they really want to learn more, they should definitely check those classes out.
Awesome. Right on, Brandon. I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much. Guys, if you like the show and you'd like to hear more about our finances information, please tune in each week where we break it down more topics about like this. And you can find me at The Real Mike Jones, NYKE Jones on Real Instagram. And you can find my man Armand. Where can they find you, Armand, besides on Drive?
They can find me everywhere, man. My name is Armand Kroom. I run KroomFinancial.com, TheFinancialEffect.com. And so you can find me on both of those places. Also, the next episode should be buying a new car. Does it make sense? Insurance, pricing, reasons, the whole nine. So be sure to tune in for that.
Thanks for listening. Money is funny, and take care and keep your eye on your wallet.
Music by StreamBeats.
Universe Media Mastering. Your audio more listenable.